pains, Fioro? He asked.
Not long.
She propped herself up, one hand on the dusty floorboard, the other on her belly.
I'm dizzy. Where is Braylon?
Anders turned his palms up helplessly. Another lie. He had never sent for the midwife.
Let's have a look. We can manage without her.
He drew back the woolen blanket, and the pair froze, the fresh log crackling in the fireplace. A pool of darkness spread between her legs, soaking the white blankets he'd lain beneath her. They regarded this blot in shared horror, as if they'd discovered the corpse of a friend on the roadside. Elsa wept. He wringed his hands, groping for the words to comfort her fear. But what could he say? It was too much blood. Instead, he set his mind to the task ahead, his stomach knotting as his unease grew. His flower cried out again, a short, sharp bark like a seal pup.
It's all right, Fioro.
His finger combed the sweaty hair from her face.
Lie back.
Anders reached up to one of the rawhide chairs by the hearth and grabbed a rag and a vial of ointment. He tucked his long blonde hair into the collar of his shirt. Then he lifted the hem of his daughter's dress and bent down to have a look.
The ring is open, Elsa. It's time to push.
He held out his hand, and she took it, squeezed it as she bore down pushing, breathing like the midwife had taught her. Another contraction came, another scream. Anders dabbed ointment on the rag and wiped blood and mucus from between her legs, the cloth soon black in the firelight.
Keep pushing, Fioral.
I'm trying,
Elsa said.
I'm so tired. I just want to sleep.
Over and over, she pushed and she screamed. Her grip on his hand weakened. Her voice grew fainter. Her head lulled. Anders gently slapped his flower's cheek, rousing her.
You're almost done, Elsa. If you want the child to live, you have to keep fighting. You don't have long.
He saw his words tear the veil from her eyes, a flicker of sadness, dashed by a wave of intensity. Elsa tightened her grip on his hand, fighting with the grim determination of the doomed, a rage born of indignation that the world would dare to rob her baby of its precious, unspoiled life. Anders whispered to the fathers, begging for forgiveness that would not come. He would have given anything to speed her journey. But the birth drew on. Her shrieking echoed in the night. The quiet afterwards filled by ragged breaths and hail drumming on the thatch above. At last, the child's head crowned. The end of Elsa's suffering in sight. Anders mopped his flower's brow and held her hand, spurring her when her efforts flagged. He knelt between her legs, his fingers probing for purchase to guide the baby safely. With waning strength, she heaved the child out to the shoulders. Anders hooked his fingers into its armpits and dragged it into the world. Elsa lay back, panting, her eyes closed. Anders inspected the child, its withered form a shame and a blessing, considering his pact. One of its arms had wilted, and its brow grew out of proportion to its tiny face. In the old days, they would have left it in the forest. The child reached out and grabbed his thumb, its eyes crusted shut. It never cried. It was a boy, a luckless, misshapen boy, his grandson. But doomed, he reminded himself. Doomed. Anders turned away from his daughter, using his body to hide his crime.
Father?
Elsa asked.
Are you crying?
Anders looped the umbilical cord around the child's neck, shielding the murder from his daughter's eyes, masking it in the form of grief.
What's wrong?
She asked.
Why are you crying?
When it was done, he turned to her, without meeting her eyes, and offered up its strangled corpse.
The cord,